Hey guys, this is Michael Bohm with Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a brand new series. We're going to be talking about Caesar's Messiah. Have you guys heard of this? This is like the new conspiracy theory that's running around on the internet right now. It actually came out in about 2005. This Joseph Atwill wrote a book called Caesar's Messiah. It flopped. It was really nothing to get excited about. A few strange tinfoil hat wearing circles picked it up and thought it was interesting. Well, recently, Joseph Atwill put together a movie that he is now selling on his website and places like Amazon. And in this process, Richard Dawkins sent out a tweet that said, basically something to the effect of, something to look into, kind of interesting. I don't know if it's true. I don't know. I'm not quoting his tweet directly, but that's the feel of his tweet. Well, anyway, when you get an endorsement from Richard Dawkins, you're going viral. And that's exactly what happened here. And this Caesar's Messiah is now all over the internet. People are, they're rallying behind this until they realize just how silly it is. It makes me think of that book, The Da Vinci Code. And really, maybe that's what Joseph Atwill should have done, was written this in a fictional format. I think I'm going to get a hold of him and say, hey, let's work out a deal. I'll write this really cool fictional story, and we'll put your conspiracy theory in it, and we'll sell it to the masses. Okay, maybe not. But it really is similar to the Da Vinci Code in many different ways. It is a rewriting of history. And the Da Vinci Code has its own way of doing that. I do not have a series on the Da Vinci Code because it's kind of old hat. I mean, that's old news. If any of you would like a thorough refutation of the Da Vinci Code and you'd like to hear it from me, I can certainly put something together. I have recorded about 5 or 6 hours worth of refuting the Da Vinci Code years ago, back when I was part of this wild and crazy hyper charismatic church and I was teaching the youth. I did probably about five or six parts on the Da Vinci Code. It's filled with many a rabbit trails and odd conversations going back with students, so it might be a little rough to listen to. But gosh, if you want it, I'll certainly send it out to anybody who's interested in hearing that. It doesn't sound anything like what you're hearing nowadays, from youth apologetics training, but whatever the case, this Caesar's Messiah really does have that feel. It is a complete rewriting of history. In this case, this is how it goes. Jesus never existed. He really is just kind of a fictional character. You see, back before 70 AD, there was this problem with the Jews. They were always a feisty bunch. They liked to start wars, and they didn't like to be oppressed by other societies like the Romans. The Romans were a very warlike society and knew that they could whoop up on the Jews, and in fact they did. They destroyed the Jews' temples, but the Jews continue to rebel, and you have movements like the Sicarii, this rebel group who was, they're running around opposing the Romans, although it's kind of a joke. They were always getting their hind end kicked, but whatever the case, they were getting chased all over the place by the Romans, but the Romans had this big problem with the Sicarii, right? And so this is what they came up with. The Flavian family, so you have Vespasian, you have Titus, you have Domitian, and they get together and come up with this awesome conspiracy theory. They decide, you know what, we're just going to write a fictional account of somebody that never existed, that kind of fits the Jewish prophecies about the coming Messiah. But here's the catch. There's this big joke involved here because, Titus, his father, Titus made the case before the Roman Senate to have his father Vespasian worshipped as a god. Now, Now, if Vespasian is a god, well, that makes Titus a son of God. And so as this conspiracy theory goes, Titus hooks up with Josephus, or rather the Flavian family hooks up with Josephus and some others, and they cook up this Messiah. But they want to fashion this Messiah that they can get the Jews to worship after Titus. All right. The whole purpose of writing these Gospels and these other books of the Bible is to pacify these rebellious Jews. All right. So we're going to try and get all these Jews to swallow this story about a Messiah that never existed. And we're going to fashion this Messiah after this Titus. And so unknowingly, they're going to be worshiping Titus as Lord. All right. And if you watch this Caesar's Messiah movie, he even makes a comment somewhere along the line that Titus really wanted to be worshipped, and he was tired of those Jews not worshipping him. So he came up with this idea because he wanted them to worship some Messiah, stop rebelling against him, and unknowingly, ha ha ha, the joke's on them, they're worshipping Titus. The very guy who went in there and destroyed Jerusalem and took the temple down brick by brick. But wait, there's more. Oh, this is good stuff. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at it, but guys, this is laughable. This is a pretty funny conspiracy theory. It goes pretty deep, but Joseph Atwill has discovered a secret code between the Gospels and the book of the Jewish War, written by Josephus, all right? So if you bounce back between them, you're going to find these amazing codes. You know, of course, they're not really codes. They're more like parallels, and they're really not much of parallels. After we look at them, you're going to realize they're really stretched, contrived leaps of faith on Joseph Atwill's part. I mean, it is horrible, guys. It is horrible. Stay tuned. We're not going to really get into these parallels till, I guess, towards the end of this series. I don't think this series will be very long, but you got to check out these parallels. We'll give you his words, okay? Well, I will do my best to give you the best case I can for these parallels, and then we'll look at them. On the face of them, when you first hear it, you're like, especially when you're watching the video, because they really cook the terms that he uses, Atwill. He really works with terms to try and make what Josephus is writing sound very Christianese, and then all of a sudden, voila, you jump over to the Gospels, and wow, look at that. Okay, but no, not really. Almost on the face of it, you might be convinced, but when we look at them closer, oh my goodness, it is a joke. But you know what? It is the newest conspiracy theory out there, so we're going to strap on our tinfoil hats, and we're going to look at this theory about how supposedly the Jews were supposed to swallow this story about a Messiah that never existed. Oh, I forgot to mention the best part. According to Joseph Atwill, these Gospels were written somewhere after 73 AD. All right. So, and shortly thereafter, I should add. So somewhere, let's just say 73, 74 AD. All right. Maybe 75 AD. We're looking at roughly about 40 years after the events took place. And so we're talking about a situation where there's this Messiah running around, and he's speaking to crowds of people, sometimes 5,000 people at once. He's going around healing the blind, healing the lepers, healing the sick, raising people from the dead, really stirring things up. All this stuff going down in, Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And yet, he never existed. And they're going to push this grand story on a bunch of people that most of them are going to be like, wait, I was there in Jerusalem, and I didn't see any guy named Jesus, and there was none of this going down. All right. Nobody thought to question him and say, or question the Flavians and say, we were there. And we didn't see that. Guys, we don't even have a writing from antiquity saying, there's this weird story that the Romans are passing around about a Jewish Messiah, and we outright reject it. In fact, the Talmud, the Jewish Talmud, mentions Jesus many a times. It doesn't mention him as a fictional character that never existed. No, it calls him all kinds of nasty things, calls him a sorcerer, says some pretty crude stuff about him and about his mother. No. This is some funny stuff. But whatever the case, we'll get into it. And looking at it here, there are some arguments that Joseph Atwill uses to push this theory. And again, the atheists, well, the non-thinking atheists, because there are a lot of atheists on the internet that are laughing hysterically at this whole thing. There are many scholars who absolutely reject the Bible outright. They think it's full of errors. They think this and they think that. And they're still laughing at this bizarre theory. But whatever the case, Joseph Atwill says, or at least notices in his research, that the Dead Sea Scrolls don't explicitly mention Jesus anywhere in them. All right, so the Dead Sea Scrolls don't mention Jesus. Another argument he uses, there is no historical evidence for Jesus, no archaeological evidence for Jesus or otherwise. He argues that Josephus doesn't even mention Jesus. And we're gonna talk about all this stuff here in a while, guys. He also mentions in the video, he makes this comment, nobody knew anything about him. Huh. But honestly, guys, the most compelling arguments that he makes are these alleged parallels between the Jewish wars and, Josephus's the Jewish war and the Gospels. There are many of these alleged parallels. I'm going to list just a few here, and then later in the series when we actually get down and look at these, I'll mention a few more. Okay, there's quite a few. There is a parallel in the Jewish war about fishers of men, Titus, actually him and his men becoming fishers of men. There is another parallel that is often talked about where there's a woman named Mary and she eats her child. All right. And this is paralleled with Christ being the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us in our place. Now, I kid you not, this is for real. There is a parallel between Jesus casting this legion of demons into a sort of swine, and then they jump off a cliff into the Sea of Galilee, into the water, and a situation where Titus chases a bunch of men and backs them up into the Jordan River, and they drown in the Jordan River. Guys, I kid you not, these are so contrived, they are so stretched to make these parallels work. But when you hear it in the video and when you read it in his book, it sounds compelling because of the Christianese he uses and the details he conveniently leaves out. Another parallel, there is a story in Josephus where he comes upon three of his friends who had been crucified, and he begs of Titus to take them down. All right. And Titus goes ahead and allows these three men to get taken down from these crosses. Two of the three die and one live. I mean, that's compelling. I mean, that makes me think, wow. And so anyway, sorry, guys. We'll even talk about the situation in the Jewish war where there is a long stretch of the life of Titus. Starting with check this out. Titus's campaign started in Galilee. Jesus's ministry started in Galilee. All right. And going forward through the gospel story in chronological order and going forward in this story about Titus, you find all these parallels and they supposedly are in order. Now, when we look at them, they're not really that much in order. And what is there is very, again, stretched, contrived. I mean, come on, you can find all kinds of parallels with just about any story. But you'll find some of those too. Oh, here's one. Here's one. Titus's campaign lasted 3.5 years. Well, Jesus's ministry lasted 3.5 years. Oh, man. And so here, I mean, that's pretty much it. That sums it up, guys. We're going to be looking at this theory over the next couple days, and it might sound somewhat compelling or at least provocative at first, but the closer we look at this, the more goofy it comes out to look. This really is nonsense, but something tells me a lot of you are going to get confronted with this in the weeks, months, years to come. And so, you know, be ready for it. And although in this series I might get a little comical, I might laugh at times because, good grief, this is silly. Do not treat those who you're talking to about this. If somebody seriously believes this, show them respect. Do not laugh, and go ahead and ask them questions that will poke holes in these arguments, and there are many, okay? Because it really is easy to dismantle. But nonetheless, yeah, show a lot of respect, a lot of love. We want to get them saved, not win an argument. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. In this bizarre theory, we are to believe Joseph Atwell wants us, will have us, I should say, believe that the Flavians wrote the New Testament and created this cult, if you will, from thin air with absolutely no historical foundation, and then expected these Jews to join. We're going to join in on this thing that has no historical foundation at all whatsoever. We know for a fact that this Jesus never lived. And, well, he said a lot of things, did a lot of things that seemed to be really contrary to our Pharisaical or Sadducee type doctrines or theologies that we're following. But we're just going to go ahead and join and only to be tried in this new faith and slaughtered in horrific, painful ways for believing it. Nice. Really? All right. So, yeah. We have situations where these disciples, these new believers, are put to the test, and all they have to do, and we're even going to look at some quotes between Pliny the Younger and Trajan, and talking back and forth. And Trajan says, you know, if they repent, if they just worship our idols, go ahead and let them live. That's all they had to do. These guys are following what they know to be a lie because they were there. Nobody around them saw it. And they're going to go ahead and die for it? No. I don't think so. But yeah, we're going to discuss all these issues over the next few days. So I'm going to stop right there, friends. If you like these types of podcasts, if you're interested in worldviews, apologetics, creation, evolution, Bible difficulties, cult research like Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Christian Science, all these types of subjects, come out to my website, Youth Apologetics Training, and click on the podcast archive. I've got over 450 podcasts in there, and I'm adding to them every single day. They're absolutely free, and they will continue to be free. So come out, check them out. With that, I love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow.